Motzei Shabbos, Parshas, Vashalach, Yud Aleph, Shvat Tavshin Pehe. We are in Nechemiah Beis, Pasuk, Zion. Va'omer LaMelech, now that the king has shown that he's interested in helping out Nechemiah, and has asked Nechemiah what he's requesting, and when he's going to return, and he says, "Yimal Melech Tov, Igrois Yitnu Li Al Pachavos Eber Hanahar Asher Yaviruni Ad Asher Avo El Yehuda." He asks for letters giving a command from the king to escort him to Eretz Yehuda, which includes crossing the Euphrates River and going from one area of the country of the empire to another. The Igeres El Asaf Shomer HaPardes, and a special brief letter should be sent, Rashi says, ahead of time to get there even before him, to this person who was a high position Sar, someone who's in charge of all of the matters of wood
lumber
in the empire. He was had the lumber chair. And he was called the Shomer HaPardes. He was in charge of all the forests, Rashi says, and also the fruit trees. And the plan of Nechemiah is to use the wood that will be provided by the king to do the work he needs to do in building the Chomos of Yerushalayim. Now, does that mean he's going to build a wooden wall, a wooden choma? A wooden choma is not, we usually assume a choma is made out of stone. A wall is not the best type of wood. Wood is not the best material for a protective wall because it burns down. So if you look in the pasuk says, "Asher yitein li etzim lekaros es sha'rei habira." Asher labayis ulechoma sa'ir the labayis asher avo elav. So what are these three things? So Rashi tells us that lekaros, this is the word we're familiar with, the word tikra, a ceiling. So lekaros means lasos tikros, to make ceilings. The koros l'share biros harabayis. Shari Beis HaMikdash Banu the Binyano Aval Shari Chomos HaRabayis V'Chomos HaChatzer Shasaviv Beis HaMikdash Lo Banu Adayin. The Beis HaMikdash had been built, but the courtyards around the Beis HaMikdash that have gates that go into them had not been built. That was part of the lack of investment in the Choma, and he wanted that when you go into these gates they should have beautiful wooden ceilings. It's not only for the tikros, it's also for koros. Koros are the beams that are necessary in holding up the structures. So we're used to going to the old city, we see that the gates are held up just by stones that are in an arch. We don't see any wooden beams there holding up the... So I don't know if this means... Obviously those are not the walls that we're walking into, walls that are much later. But perhaps that's part of the construction process. You have to have beams to hold up these stones until you make a proper arch.
And to make the arch, they used to have like a form made out of like wood to go.
Oh, there you go. Here, we're talking about builders of Jerusalem over here.
I don't know if it was a form.
So that required a lot of strong wood in order to build your arches around. So perhaps that's part of the koros here. Or it could be that they had also wooden ceilings there and beams holding up the structure. And what's this last thing? Labayis asher avo elav. So Rashi says this was going to be a house that was going to be built for Nechemiah himself. And the Mefarshim say, being that he was going to be the leader, Moshe Davavali says that he felt part of the Kiddush Hashem is that he as the leader should have a very impressive home. We have found over the last few generations leading Talmidei Chachamim in Klal Yisrael often had not such impressive homes, like Chafetz Chaim famously told the story, is famously told that people came and visited the Chafetz Chaim, and someone said that you're the famous Chafetz Chaim, the leader of all of the Jewry around the world, and it looks like you're no one invested in your home. It's like all falling apart, or it's very, very pushed, and you don't even have like
chairs and tables, argazim and whatever.
You know, you don't have proper, regular, nice furniture, anything. So he said, "Oh, this is just where I'm passing through." So you're also passing through. Where's your furnishings? You're just visiting in Radin. So he said, "Oh, you're just passing through. Where do you actually live?" He said, "Oh, no, Olam Hazeh. I'm just passing through." But Rabbi Leib Steinman also is famously known, and many of us got to go there and see. Did not invest in his home. On the other hand, there's another mahalach, which is, let's say, the Chassidish Rebbe's. Like if you go to Bells, yeah. Bells has one of the most beautiful shuls. It's the Bells Shul. So they have part of the structure there after the courtyard. There's the whole mansion there, which is the Rebbe's home. It has gorgeous gardens in front, and fancy gate, and it's a whole big thing. It's the Rebbe's home. So I guess Nechemi was Chassidish. But he had such a mahalach. I mean, also, in Chassidim also there's a different mahalach. Ger has a different mahalach. Ger, they hold that things should be more pashut. But anyway, that was historically, we find many times that you can see it here in Eretz Yisrael, but for sure, that when there were people that were in charge of building the area, often the builder himself saw to it that he had a nice house. You can see that in different places. I was just looking into the history of a little bit of the Yishuvim here in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a time where it was Rabbanim of Yerushalayim. It's a time when I think when Mr. Zalman was here, if Cook was for sure here, then and they were making these, they decided, or Vinci and Yadler, and Moshe Clears, who was the Rebbe of Tveria, and the Charlap from Yerushalayim, and the many great Rabbanim were making this big trip all around the country to see to it that in all the different small yeshuvim that had sprouted up over the course of the last number of years, that they should make it a initiative to keep halacha and set up things there properly. Very important thing. So there's a whole sefer I saw the Shabbos about that trip. So there's pictures that they have from the trip. You can see what the cities looked like in that time. In Tuf Resh Ayin Dalet, I think. So like this picture of the area around the Kinneret. And there's like hardly anything built there at all, but then there's only one big house. Oh, this big house is the house of the builder that built like the rest of the buildings there. But it's like mamish, much more impressive than any of the other things that were built. You have this also in Yerushalayim. You can see this in the different. If you go in Rechov HaNevi'im over there, there's a fancy building and says, "Oh, this was the Kablan that built the whole that area." But Nehemiah was coming here as a builder. So the question is, how do we look at how he was doeg and asked the king that he should have an impressive house? So if someone just reads Navi without the right pirushim, they'll think, "Ah, so you know, once he was already doing this thing with Shem Shabbayim, he threw in a little lolishma." But Moshe Davali says, "No, he thought of Yechil Hashem if he would be the leader." And he would have a, you know, Nebuch home. So therefore, he invested in that, and that was part of his plan in Chatchila. When he asked for permission, it was to build the city and to have the wherewithal to build a impressive home for himself, and that would be a Kiddush Shem Shamayim. And that's what it means, Labayis Asher Avo Elav. V'yitein li ha-melech kiyad elokai ha-tova alai. They're fascinating. So, the king agreed, and Nehemiah tells us that his agreement was, like Rashi says, "Kfi yadar shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu shahayis hatova alai lahatzlicheini." Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking that I should be matzliach, and that's why I had hatzlacha. It wasn't just that I succeeded because I did this good political maneuver with the king. On the other hand, not everyone was impressed with everything sounds all rosy. The king, the queen are happy. Nehemiah is happy. But we're going to see soon there was some protest over here. Let's see. Pasuk test. V'avo el pachvos eber hanar v'etzen alhem es igros hamelech v'yishlach imi hamelech sari chayel v'rashim. So the plan seems to work. He goes to the magistrate that is responsible for the situation of the
forestry services.
Well, not forestry services yet. This is the Pachvos Eber Hanai, the magistrate over the western side of the Euphrates. And he shows them his paperwork. And the king also sends with him soldiers and horsemen. Everything's great. But as word of this new arrangement is known to the people in Eretz Yisrael, not everyone's so happy about this. Pasuk Yud. Vayishma Sanbalat Hachorni. There was a man named Sanbalat who lived in a place called Beit Horon, and he was not happy about this. He was from the Tzare Yehuda Binyamin, the people that were had a ayin ra against what the Yidden were doing over there. And they say he was the head of the Shomronim, who were not friends of the Jewish Yishuv. The Tuvia Ha'eved Ha'amoni. And Tuvia the Eved Amoni also heard about this. He seems also to be an important person, even though he's referred to as an Eved. So what did they think about all this? Vayera lahem ra'a gedola. This was terrible news for them. Because this is good news for the Jews. Good news for the Jews, bad news for them. Asher ba'adam levakish tova levnei Yisrael. A person is coming who is seeking out the good of the Jewish people, and he has backing from the king. They're not happy about this. Fatsgiral fa'avol Yerushalayim. Now, Nehemiah has to decide how is he going to make his arrival to Yerushalayim. He knows that it's not a secret to the officials that he's coming. A letter has been sent to the Minister of Forestry, like we heard. And we don't know if he knew that Sanvlat Achorni and Tuvia Ha'eved Ha'amoni were upset that he's coming. But it wasn't meant to be a secret that he was coming. It was notified to the officials in order that he should get their help. The question is, does he want to introduce himself in a way of pomp and circumstance, or the opposite? And we'll see, he made a very specific plan how to introduce himself. So first he arrived and spent the first 3 days there, and that we found already a few times, 3 days to recover from the traveling, and after he was there for 3 days, the akum laila ani ve'anoshim me'at imi. I got up in the middle of the night with a few people who were with me. We always try to mudaik imi means they were really with him, not slightly with him. Perhaps here it means they were with him with the knowledge of the secret plan that we're going to see he now had, and they were with him. They were part. They were in the know about this plan. Lohi gadati la'adam ma elokai nosein elibi lasos Yerushalayim. I did not let my plan that Hashem put in my heart, since he doesn't take credit for his plan, even though we're going to see soon the plan worked. He says the plan that Hashem put in my heart, I did not let anyone know about this plan, what I plan to do for Yerushalayim. Uvehema ein imi ki im habehema asher ani rochiv ba. I didn't have animals with me except for the animal I rode on. It's interesting, for instance, the behema. Usually a person rides on a sus. Doesn't specify which type of behemoth he was riding on. The etza'a b'sha'ar hagai. And I went out through the shar called Shar Hagai. Now there's the entrance, the road going to Yerushalayim. Nowadays goes to an area called Shar Hagai. Apparently the name was borrowed from here. Maybe there's other reasons also why it's called Shar Hagai, but apparently that is here yitziah from Yerushalayim, a way out from Yerushalayim called Shaar HaGai. I always thought that, I didn't look into history of the name Shaar HaGai, but I assumed since it wrote into Yerushalayim, I thought Shaar meant the way into Yerushalayim. In the context of the pasuk, it's the way out of Yerushalayim, it's okay, the same entrance would be in and out. But it's fascinating. This one must be the source of that. So he went out in the stealth of night, Laila. Ve'el pnei ein hatanin, ve'el shaar ha'ashpos. So he went around from place to place to see for himself what was going on over there. And some of the more archaeologically inclined present-day Sfarim are getting very involved in trying to locate all these spots that are referred to in this pasuk and trying to understand that based on the description here, we could figure out what the borders of the city were at that particular time and where the walls were. And does this match what we know about the walls in the time of Chorban Bayis Rishon? Because ostensibly it should be the same walls. And they're discussing that. The Etzah B'Shaar HaGai, some say that it's really a description of the area that we now call Gei Ben Hinnom, which is the way, if anyone takes the bus out from the Kotel on the way back to towards Mea Sharim area, that the valley around there, Gei Ben Hinnom, as it loops around the right, someone to identify as that area. Va'ehi shover b'choymoy Yerushalayim asher heim prutzim u'sha'areya u'kluvayish. And this was shocking to me. So I went and I, says Nehemiah, I went around breaking the walls. The walls which are already broken through and the gates which had been burned out. He's breaking the walls. That's the last thing I'd expect Nehemiah to do. Rashi says, "Hachoma ha'isa nocha lehapila v'lifrotz ba l'fisha ha'isa strufa be'esh." The fact that the walls had been previously burned made it easy to knock them down. So Rashi says he was being poretz b'choma. He was breaking through places in the wall. They were already broken, and he was breaking them even more. That's what Rashi explains. This is why he came to Yerushalayim, to break the walls more. Ve'evor el shar ha'ayin. Ve'el brechas ha'melech. So the brechas ha'melech is the Mayana Shiloach, which has the Chizkiyahu's tunnel that was already made in time by Srishan. So there's the pool at the end of Chizkiyahu's tunnel, and they say that's Brechas HaMelech. The Ein Makom LeBehema Laver Tachtai. Some say even specifically there wasn't room to walk there, to go there with riding my animals. I had to walk there by foot. The Ehi Ole Banachal, and I went through the valley there, Laila in the night. The Ehi Shover Bachoyma, and I was breaking into the walls. Breaking down the walls. Vashuv v'avu b'shar ha'gai v'ashuv. And I did this again and again. I went back through the way I came. Question if he also broken on the way back. That's not clear. And Rashi says he was breaking the walls wherever he went together with the people who were with him. That's ganim lo yodu ana halachti. And the people in the city didn't know where I went. I did this all secretly. Uma ani ose v'leyhudim v'lekohanim v'lechoyrim v'lesganim v'leyeser ose hamelacha ad kein lo higadati. And I didn't tell any of these people. Who are the choyrim? It's a strange lashon. Rashi says it's the big sarim gdoilim. Okay. V'omar elehem, atem roim hara she'anachnu va, asher Yerushalayim chareva v'shareya, u'shareya nitzisu v'esh, v'chu v'nivne eschomos Yerushalayim, v'lo niyeh od cherpa. So, after he had done a good job breaking down the walls, he came and he announced to the people there that, you know, look how bad the state the walls of Yerushalayim are. Let's go and rebuild Chomas Yerushalayim. It shouldn't be such a embarrassment. Now, the reason he had broken them down more than they were before was because everyone was already used to seeing how destroyed it was. Everyone was already used to seeing how it looked. They've been living there. he wants them to be inspired to how bad the situation is. So by breaking down much more than it was, people say, oh, it's not so bad. Well, let's take a little tour around the outside of the city. Let's go see the walls from the outside. Like, whoa, it's really worse than we thought. Yeah, guess why it's worse than we thought? It's worse than they thought because he went around breaking it. Thank you so much. Wow. Great. So,
looks freshly destroyed.
Oh. So, Va'agi lahem es yad elokai asher hi toiva alai. Ve'afti rei ha-melech asher amar li. So I told him that Hashem has been helping me. I've had a lot of siyata d'shmaya. And the king told me that he'll help out. Vayomru nakum uvaninu v'yechazku yedehem latoiva. So he got the agreement and the excitement of the people there. Rashi says, Hakol niskavnu letova livno shoma sa'iru migdaleha. Everyone was on board to rebuild the city. So he succeeded in his plan. It still sounds to me quite strange, this plan. It succeeded. I understand the psychology of it, but being that Moshe Dov Vali has told us in the past that the walls of Yerushalayim is not just a physical thing, it represents the spiritual protection from the Kohos Hara, so was it really okay to do that? I'm not saying like from the halachic standpoint of Hektish and things like that, but does it not take something away from the spiritual protection of the city to break down the walls? And the answer is that they were already broken. The spiritual walls are already broken down. And what was there was just a physical manifestation that was already in ruins. So it was not taking away from the spiritual protection of the city. On the other hand, when he will rebuild it, it will be enforcing the spiritual protection of the city. Which I think there's a line here to read in Rav David Vali. And we'll try to end with that. Achar shlosha yamim, says Rav David Vali, after the 3 days passed, when he came there to Yerushalayim, he waited 3 days, nisyashe v'machshavto, he had time to think and make up his mind what to do. V'gamar v'libo, and he decided, l'kalkel al menas l'taken, to destroy with the purpose of fixing. When you have a kilkul gadol, that is a source for a tikkun gadol. When there's just a little bit wrong, people don't pay attention to fix it. Not a big deal. But when there's a big problem, people get involved, and then they can really fix things up properly. This is something in Ashkachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world which is known as Sod HaShvira Shekodemes El HaTikun. Before you get to a full Tikun, you have a Shvira. He says, Kabbalistically, this process was involved in Maisa Bereishis. Lachen Ha'ish HaZeh Sh'aya Chacham V'yodeh Darchei HaHanhaga Al Boryam. So being that Nehemiah understood how Hashem runs the world in Ashkacha, he understood this concept that a Shvira Gdoila brings to a Tikkun Gadol. It was Dafka because of that that he was Nisari, he came up with this idea, not just psychologically to inspire the people, but he understood, if we're going to get a Tikkun Gadol, it has to be after a Shvira Gdoila. And this would bring about the biggest Oiros of everyone to rebuild the walls. Why did he do it at night? Because people would see him during the day breaking the walls, they'd say, you're the guy that broke the walls, you know, asking us to get inspired about rebuilding them. But also, because the nighttime is the time of the koach of din, as opposed to the daytime is the time of the midas ha-chesed. Midas ha-din is involved in kilkul. Midas ha-chesed is involved in tikkun. And why did he keep it a secret? Because if you want to have success and get to the final hatzlacha, yadua shetzarech lehalim es hadavar ad hazman haroi legiluyoi. Kidei shlotiyeh meniyah mitar achitzoinim hakoifzim bekitzrugam. Like it says in the pasuk, hafer machshavos de'ein sod. If a person has a plan and he doesn't keep it secret till and wait till the right time to reveal it, then it can easily be undone.
Also, here it was important. You didn't want anyone to know. So
right.
Let anyone know if you get out that he was the one who destroyed the wall, then that would defeat the whole.
Right. Mela, that was the you start over here. He has a lot more Kabbalistic things on the different names of the places over here and everything. But that's the Yisod over here. But that's important Yisod to remember. A lot of times we see difficult situations like, oh my goodness, why did this have to happen? And then later on we see Dafka, the Kilkel, the fact we reached a big Kilkel, that ended up bringing a big Kilkel. Okay, Blin Adam Katzmaya, unless you hear otherwise, next week, same time, I mean, regular time, 18 minutes. Yeah, sorry for the tardiness.